So welcome to our retreat. I think most people are here now, and as you know, it's been a very busy day and busy week, especially for myself and the other monks. So we're going to have just a very short talk this evening, so everyone can go and take a rest, including myself. I was going to be sleeping over here and coming up for the morning chanting, but I'm going to give myself a break and let Sister Naroda do the chanting tomorrow morning, so I'll see you after breakfast for the first talk at 8 o'clock. And as I did mention to many of you, that this is what I call the Titanic retreat. The first voyage of John the Grove. So I don't know what's going to happen, because we know what happened to the Titanic. In its very first voyage, it's a beautiful ship, millions of dollars or pounds, and it went straight down. Unfortunately, we can't hit an iceberg, but there's all sorts of other things which might go wrong. And I do apologize for not having any water yet, but I think we have the problem solved, and a couple of trucks of water is coming tomorrow morning, and that should actually prime up the system again. So please be frugal with the water, don't waste anything, but we should have enough for everybody. But even though, you know, there's little things, like we also haven't rolled out all the mats yet in the walking meditation hall, we couldn't get all the other chairs out and all the mats cut up in time, but you see in the hall behind you there's one is set up already. So there's little red mats there which are nice for walking on. You don't walk on the concrete because that's hard, you walk on the mats. And that's just one psychological way of getting people to walk in the right direction, the one you want them to. Because sometimes when you have a room like that, someone likes to walk diagonally, which means no one else can walk in that room at all. So that way you can actually see you've got lines there. So those are people who want to walk meditation inside this building over here. You can meditate, and as soon as you finish sitting meditation, you don't have too far to go to do some walking, and then from walking you can come back and sitting. So we'll keep the continuity between walking and sitting in a much more efficient way. However, the way this retreat center has been set up, there's lots of corridors and they're all very wide, especially the walking areas in front of your huts. So those are great also for walking meditation. So there's many corridors, there's many verandas which you can actually get for walking meditation, and still they're wide enough if someone is passing by to get to their room or going somewhere else, they shouldn't disturb your walking meditation that much. You know that today was a warm day. This time of year in April, sometimes it's warm, sometimes it's cool, sometimes it's rain. This is a turn of the seasons this month. So this is why you cannot really predict whether it's going to be hot, whether it's going to be cold. But nevertheless, you can be underneath the shade. So if it's raining, you won't get wet. If it's very sunny like today, you won't get sunburned. So you have many covered areas where you can walk meditation. If you are really adventurous during the daytime, it's a nice day, you can go out into the forest outside and find a nice place outside to meditate, either sitting down or walking. Many of you have been on a retreat with me before, and you know that the schedule is very flexible. So I want you to just very gently get into this retreat. In other words, don't go hell for leather trying to get enlightened tomorrow. Give yourself time. So you know, you can sleep in the morning if you wish. And just learn how to just accommodate to the new schedule of just being quiet. I do ask that people don't talk. If you possibly can, avoid chatter, because it does actually disturb the peace. You may notice that when I stop speaking, there's no sound except the hum of electricity. If you go outside, there's hardly any sound whatsoever. The forest of Australia, especially around here, is one of the quietest places you can be in. At night time, there's no sound of animals, no sounds of cricket. The only sound you can hear, if you listen very carefully, is the sound of the moon rising. So you can see how quiet the place is. So it's great to make the quietness and the peace of your surroundings sink into you, because it makes you quiet inside. If it's noisy outside, sometimes that noise makes you vibrate inside and makes you noisy. But the quietness of this place is one of the reasons why we built a retreat center here. And the retreat center where many of you have been before, over in North Perth, it's very well set up, and at least you can have hot showers every evening there, but it's much noisier and has a very different feel than this place. So make use of the quiet atmosphere of this retreat center. And make use of it as best you can. So when you get up in the morning, just if you feel like getting up early, get up early. If you feel like getting up late, get up late. There's many, many times to meditate. And remember, it's the quality of meditation which is important rather than the quantity. You don't want to say, I'm going to sit for 20 hours or, you know, in a stretch and just be sleepy and dull or get stressed out. Even if you only sit like 1 hour a day, which is a really good meditation, oh, that's really worth it. So remember, the quality of your meditation rather than the quantity is really important. And in order to get that quality of meditation, we have to have a very peaceful mind. And you can't have a peaceful mind by arranging everything around you to be just right. Even though that myself and the other monks, we have been working hard to try and get everything just right for you. The thing is, sometimes you just cannot fix up. There's always something goes wrong, even with the best will in the world. And this is actually part of living in this world. There's no way you can have a perfect body. There's no way you can have a perfect retreat center. There's no way you can have a perfect teacher or a perfect group of fellow meditators. But we have a saying in meditation that this is good enough. So as long as it's good enough, it means one can make peace with it. So in this moment, you may be tired, you may feel a bit sweaty and dirty because you haven't had the shower. You may feel also just a bit jet-lagged because you may have come from overseas. But remember, it's good enough. And so we can make peace with this moment. It is good enough because it's good enough for meditation, it's good enough for samadhi, it's good enough for enlightenment. We make peace with the world rather than trying to change it. So during this retreat, many things I'm sure will go wrong. If it's not the water, it'll be the electricity. If it's not the electricity, it'll be your hut falling over the precipice or a meteor slamming into the meditation hall. I'm not sure, I haven't got a clue what's going to happen next, but I'm sure something will. But if it does, remember, don't get fault-finding. Because it's so easy to actually to look at things and find all the mistakes. I remember talking, I think, a long time ago with Jack Kornfield from the United States. And he tried to make his retreat center just really perfect. No, sorry, this was actually Joseph Goldstein. He tried to make his retreat center really, really perfect. And when he got so far, he made a big mistake. His big mistake was putting a suggestions box on the wall. And as soon as he got a suggestions box on the wall, he got filled within an hour or two. And he was so surprised because this was, you know, the state-of-the-art retreat center. And still people weren't satisfied. And he realized something important. No matter how perfect you make it, in fact, the more close to perfect it is, human nature is to find more faults with it. If it really is a messy retreat center, and everything is all over the place, you tend not to find fault with it, you just almost give up. But if it's really close to perfect, just that little bit which is separating you from perfection, is what makes you really upset. So that's what we call the fault-finding mind. The closer you get to perfection, the more faults you find in it. So be careful of that. And that fault-finding mind, it doesn't really create any peace. You know that myself and all the other monks and other managers of this place, we're trying to do the best, and we can't really do more than this. And the same with this retreat center, it can't be better than this. So this is as good as it gets. So that means that you stop all the business of fault finding, because once you have a fault and you see the fault, what happens next is you want to fix it up. And to try and fix up faults is a lot of work. So once you have the fault finding mind, you do make a lot of business for yourself, and that business stops you resting, relaxing and being in peace. Which is why the fault finding mind, for those of you who didn't make this up, is called Sarambajitta. It's in the Pali. The fault-finding mind is something which is an obstacle to peace, to meditation and to enlightenment, to insight. So, during this retreat, don't find fault with the place. Don't find fault with each other. If you're about to get into jhana and someone's mobile phone does go off, then that's just a test for you to see whether you really were in samadhi or not. It's also a test for you to know this is good enough. You may all know that wonderful teaching of Ajahn Chah. When we were trying to meditate in a forest monastery in Thailand, where there was a party going on next door. Now you won't have a party going on anywhere next door because your neighbours are Bodhinyana Monastery. We don't do parties. So it's going to be very quiet here, and your neighbours are just the kangaroos, the kookaburras, or the wedge-tailed eagle we saw today. These are your neighbours, and they're very quiet. But when there was a great noise, we asked the villagers, can you please at least stop at 1 o'clock? We get up at 3 o'clock. Just give us a couple of hours, because usually they go on to about 2, 2:30. And so by the time they stopped, we had about half an hour before the bell went for our morning chanting at 3. So we weren't getting any sleep whatsoever. Actually, not getting any sleep in those days was a good training for the last week or two we've been living here in this monastery. But the villagers wouldn't listen to us. We always thought that they respected an Ajahn Chah. So we asked our teacher, Ajahn Chah, can you talk to the villagers? And the villagers, Ajahn Chah said, no, I don't need to. And then he said a wonderful saying. He said, listen, monks, it's not the noise that disturbs you. It's you who disturb the noise. And that was such a profound statement, which is why I repeat it at every retreat. It's not the noise that disturbs you. It's you disturb the noise. What that means is the noise is part of nature. We're disturbing nature by trying to control her and trying to make her something she will never be. Silent, perfect, beautiful, healthy. You may ache. You may be too hot or too cold. We do have a $150,000 air conditioner in this room, but the people who supplied it decided they're not going to commission it till next Tuesday or Wednesday. So we can't use it. It's ready to go, ready to switch on. So if you were hot today, you can actually blame Daikin, because they had time to do it, but they decided not to because it's Easter time. So this is good enough. So I'm not going to get angry and upset at these things. You may get angry and upset at these things, but does it really help? You may get angry and upset at the person sitting next to you who always makes a noise when they come in and sit down. But is that going to really help you? Whenever there's a fault-finding mind, you always make so much business to do. Sometimes you start leaving notes at other people. Can you please be quiet? Or else. And of course, that business which we make stops us from relaxing, stops us from being peaceful. It's just more things we have to do. And the reason you come on this retreat is to relax and rest. You do too many things already. I do too many things. Now's the time to just stop and relax. And you can't make things perfect before you relax. If you're trying to make everything just right and perfect, you'll never find any time to be at peace, to relax, to have some stillness. So the way we meditate is not to make everything perfect, but to be able to be at peace with imperfection. Not to disturb the noise. Not to try and change nature. But trying to be at peace with her. Trying to just be still when everything else is flowing around. We can be in the middle, silent at peace. And if we know how to do that, we know how not to disturb the noise. And how not to disturb ourselves as well. This is your meditation, it comes and goes. And I've been teaching meditation such a long time, and you teach the monks that, look, you're on a path. And sometimes that you think you are doing the meditation, but it's not, the meditation is doing you. It's this lovely process which happens, whether you like it or not, just the mind eventually becomes still. And sometimes when you have a bad meditation, you think you're hopeless. It's not the case. It's anatta, it's just cause and effect, that's all. So you don't need to blame yourself. When you have a good meditation, it's very deep and peaceful. You don't need to praise yourself. It's just anatta again. It's just cause and effect. It's just you're part of this journey, and you're just the observer. It's like, you know, this simile that when you go on an aircraft, there's some people rush to the front, thinking they're going to get to the destination earlier. But I'll let you know that whether you're flying first class, business or economy, you all reach the destination at the same time. And recently when I was in Indonesia, this happened the second time this has happened. As soon as the plane landed, all the people rushed to the front to get out quickly. And that particular time they decided to disembark from the rear door. So I was waiting, and I got out first before these other guys. So they weren't very upset, because they all rushed to the front like people do. So we don't disturb the process, rushing to the front, waiting at the back, who knows who gets there first. So your job in this retreat is to learn how to be peaceful. Not to rush things, not to try and become enlightened, but try and be enlightened about trying. All this trying business, it all comes from a sense of self, of me and mine and the ego. And it just makes more suffering in this world. So for you, it's the time to relax to the max. Relax your body first of all. Your body might feel tight. My body feels very tight and tense through all the running around. It feels very tired. And I'm going to really relax it tonight. Because when your body is relaxed, then it's much easier to make your mind relaxed. Because you're making peace with the body, and then you can make peace with the mind. So in this retreat there will be many talks and many teachings. There will be many opportunities for interviews. But tonight it's just an opportunity just to get into the retreat, just to get a bit of a feeling for the atmosphere here. You can sit whenever you want, you can sleep whenever you want. So don't be afraid of staying up late at night or getting up early in the morning. Because if you do make a mistake and you get up too early or stay up too late, you can always catch up during the day. During this retreat I'll give a talk at 8 o'clock every day. And you can always go to sleep during the talk, because it's being recorded if you want to. So don't worry about these things. I don't get offended. And in the evening we usually have the Q&A session, which is a little bit of entertainment, but also a little bit of opportunity to ask some deep questions. And that's also a bit of fun at the end of a long day. You have lots and lots of time in this retreat, which is why we have 9 days. You have some very, very good facilities. So please make use of them and have a wonderful time. So I'm going to finish off now, because I'm just almost falling asleep while I'm giving a talk. I did remember once, this monk in Thailand, he would give these talks and he would nod off. He'd fall asleep. And the amazing thing was, we never knew when he was going to wake up again. So as young ones, we just had to sit. We couldn't go off ourselves, because he'd be, you know, falling asleep. And if we went off, he'd catch us and we'd get into trouble. So we had to wait for him. And then he'd wake up after 5 minutes. And the weird thing was, he would actually carry on exactly from where he left off. Almost mid-sentence he'd fall asleep, and he'd carry on and finish the sentence 5 minutes later. It was an amazing thing, but very, very enervating, very hard to bear. But I'm not going to do that this evening, so I'm going to finish off now and go to bed. And hopefully you will have a good night's sleep as well. So again, thank you for coming for the inaugural Titanic retreat. And I'm sure in the morning everyone will feel really much fresher, and we'll have a wonderful time here. So thank you for coming. Very good. Okay. So you know where your beds are, I know where mine is, and I'm going to go there now.